Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How about you, Faisal?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Christmas season is coming to us.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of events that we've had to participate in.
Yeah. It's been fun. Tiring. Tiring. But it's really enjoyable. And listen, it looks like Santa has brought us a bit of an early present here on the markets. And I think that has been a bit of a sigh of relief for many people. So let's just hope that it continues through the balance of the year and everybody can enjoy their holiday season.
And let's talk about why we saw a bit of a rally this week. What was the commentary? And then we can kind of look back. But we've got a great show, and this is going to kind of be the beginning part of a two-part or two segments with the deputy chief economist at CIBC. He's going to talk about the opportunities, the risks, the problems with Canada. He's going to talk about the opportunities and the risks with the U.S. and the rest of the world. And he's going to give you, I'm going to ask him at least, a hint on where's the best place to invest for 2024.
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting to say that that Benny Tall has been very accurate in his analysis. He's done a very good job. So you want to pay attention when Benny speaks because he has been dialed in.
Yes. More right than wrong, which is the key thing when you're looking at predicting
right.
and forecasting
yep.
of economic of economic policy, of the Federal Reserve, the monetary side of things, and the fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And what I think has been missed out of all of Benny's work is a lot of the conversation about the research that they do from a business perspective, small, medium-sized enterprises, which is 95% of the Canadian economy versus the larger corporations. But he does touch on, and he'll, especially for Albertans like this one, what his view on commodities are.
You bet.
Because that'll be an interesting piece, not only from the companies that are employing people here, but also the revenue that the provincial government will be receiving. There's going to be a hint he's going to talk about commodities, and I think people can kind of put it together. But what could be the impact for a province like Alberta?
For sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the market this week. You gave a little hint there. I mean, since the beginning of November, we've had a very strong rally, and we're in the seventh week of this, and we got some important news again this past week that extended that rally, not just in the United States, but we got some indication of what Europe is doing as well.
Yeah, and so the attention, all eyes were on the U.S.
Yeah.
Yes, Europe announced their information. Not much of a market mover globally,
right?
A mover in Europe for sure, but when you look at what the U.S. Federal Reserve discussed, and whenever the Federal Reserve announces their rate decision, has their commentary along with questions by the media, there's three parts to their piece. One is the facts.
Yep.
The second is the forecast. And the third is the reading between the lines.
Yep, the interview. Yep.
And that interview piece where they get a lot of questions from the media allows you to kind of read between the lines based on the responses. And let's not kid ourselves. The Federal Reserve is very poised on what they have to stick to their talking points. They don't really deviate. You're trying to trump them a bit or get them off their talking points, but they're pretty much well rehearsed on what they're going to say and how they're going to get back to their key points.
Every new central banker gets caught once in their initial interviews by the media and never again. And that's true.
And they learn.
Yeah, they learn. That's right.
And the Federal Reserve, when they respond, if you read between the lines, you'll kind of get a hint of a difference or a change.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the facts. No interest rate change,
right?
They're not cutting. They're not raising interest rates. No surprise there. And that was expected.
Yeah.
Then let's go on the forecast. In fact, now the forecast amongst the committee is that they're going to see 2 to 3 interest rate cuts happening next year.
Well, they increased it, didn't they? So they actually increased it from their previous dot plot forecast of 2 rate decreases, 2 cuts next year, to 3. So directionally, okay, that would tell you that they see the efforts that they've made so far to slow the economy and take inflationary demand out is actually working at a pace quicker than what they thought at the last meeting.
Correct. So now you go into what you have to read between the lines.
Yeah.
There was a lot of questions about recession.
Yeah.
And in previous meetings, the Federal Reserve had no problem talking about recession and the possibility of a recession.
Right.
The likelihood of a recession has diminished considerably in the commentary, not in the bond market, not the currency market,
right,
but in the commentary.
Yep.
So if you read between the lines, the Federal Reserve says there's a risk of recession, and there always is a risk of recession every year. But the risk of recession has gone down from meeting over meeting.
Right.
So that's what you read between the lines. So I think that's very interesting, and that kind of gives us the overview of why we've had a good run in the last week or so. When you take it a bit further out and you go throughout the calendar year, let's talk about some of the key learnings from an investor perspective.
Sure.
Right? Regardless if you're in retirement, transitioning to retirement, there's been some key learnings as an investor in 2023. Let me start. The one thing that I think that investors did in 2023 is early panic.
Okay.
So we got inflation numbers that were really high. 2022 wasn't a very good year on average for investors. And there was a lot of fear. And so we got early panic. We saw an increase in investing in money market funds, high interest savings accounts, GICs, and that kind of just rolled a lot of the fear. Well, if I can do better in that than I can in the markets.
Right.
And that caused, I call it the early panic. So the learning for 2023 was when you have this fear and you don't have structure and discipline, you will lose opportunity. And just look at how the global markets have done versus high interest savings accounts versus GICs in 2023 alone. You've lost on opportunity or capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's one thing that you noticed for 2023 that was a learning for investors?
So there's a couple of things. I'm going to start with the first one, which is a relearning. It's not a learning, and people need to relearn it every single time, but it is worth reflecting on at this point. And that is everything goes in a cycle. Right. And so what we saw is we got to the end of an economic cycle and there was uncertainty driven by, and it doesn't really matter the events. We've talked about what caused this event. And that tends to create instability, and that's volatility, and that's scary. So feeding on what you've said, we got to the end of this cycle. There's uncertainty and therefore there's volatility, which is a normal part of the cycle. And at some point, the cycle will move from an end to this most recent period to the beginning of a new period. And to your point, and this is coming from the risk guy on our team, people have to be very, very disciplined about not responding to the recency bias, what's happening right now. So yeah. We need to relearn the fact that there's cycles, right? When we feel the worst, it's not going to last forever. And just as much when we feel the best, that's not going to last forever as well.
When you look at 2023 from an investor perspective, you can also see where the errors were made by the markets or by investors. And
Correct. Here's
what I want to focus on. I think a big learning for investors for 2023 is there is a big difference between throwing your money at an investment and hoping it goes up to actually investing in companies.
Yes.
The quality of companies that you invest in, the quality of the asset allocation that you're in, and the structure to your overall objectives to reach your goals is something that if you just focused on that and stayed to that course, you would not be damaged in regards to rate of return in 2023. If you did the same thing in 2022, you may have had a hit.
Right.
And so staying disciplined over a key period of time, we say 5 years, 7 years, whatever it may be, will give you that approach to the rate of return that you need to reach the goals that you want to achieve in your plan.
Yeah.
And I think too many investors deviated from that, either speculating or just throwing money and hoping it goes up without understanding how you actually invest.
Great. And I'm going to feed on that for my last comment, and we're running out of time here, is market timing. A lot of people speculated on market timing. We did a presentation with our client base not long ago, and we looked over the past, 10, 15 years. You take out the top 5 or 10 trading days in that period, and you can permanently damage your return, your strategy over time. And we saw that in the last 7 weeks, right? We saw very, very rapid increase when the market decides to turn. Market timing is a very, very difficult proposition. invest in long-term strategy, not market timing.
And that's what we're going to talk about our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Country Hills Golf Club. You do need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, stick around after the break. We're going to talk to Benny Tal about what we can expect for Canada. Are we going into recession? Join us after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.